If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Philippians chapter 4 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us. May your word be handled accurately and communicated clearly, that you may speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but still we may find ourselves anxious. The antidote? Give thanks. Let's start with rejoicing. But just as with last week, these are three commands. Not suggestions, because this is all about choice, not about emotion or how we feel. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy. It's the theme of the book of Philippians. Joy produces stability in our lives, says a man who's in prison as he writes this. Again, I will say, rejoice. It's Paul's way of emphasizing it. It's that important. Today he might put it in bold italics and underline it, but he couldn't do that. So he repeated it. It's so important. Here it is. I say it twice. We learn that in the Gospels. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Remember that? Why is that there? Pay attention. Listen closely to what I'm about to say. Here, Paul simply repeats it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy, a choice, has nothing to do with what's happening around you necessarily. You may be happy, you may not be. But I can still have joy when I know who is in control. If I can move to rejoicing, then I can follow this second command. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Jesus said it, the Apostle Paul has said it, and we'll say it again. James says it. Peter says it. If you are truly born again, it will make a difference in your life and others will see it. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. And this is not about what we say, but it's about what we do. It's how we respond to what's happening to us and how we respond to what's happening to one another. That gentle spirit, your Bible maybe says gentleness. It's not always easy, but it's needed to rise above circumstances. And it's that confidence that comes when we know that God is in control. And when we really know that and really believe that, we can be content. Sermon titles have always been a sore spot with me. For years, I never used them. I just used the reference, the passage, the address, if you will. Because others, far more creative and intelligent than I am, could always come up with these very catchy titles. When it became clear I needed to do that, I almost always just let Scripture speak for itself. This morning's title, Anxious? Give Thanks. What I was really thinking is, are you anxious? Are you worried? Are you concerned about something? Remember who's in control. Remember who allowed the situation. Satan may be in charge of the chaos around us, but he can't do anything without God's approval, without him allowing it. Satan can't do anything that surprises God. When I truly believe that, I get anxious, I remember who's in control, then I give thanks. But that wouldn't fit on the top of the page. So if you're anxious, give thanks. Paul says, because the Lord is near, last part of verse 5. What does that mean? It could be a reference to time. Let your gentleness or your gentle spirit be known to all men, your care, your concern, not just lip service, but actions, let that be known. Why? Well, because the Lord is near in terms of his return. Every generation has believed and understood that Jesus could come back at any time. Nothing else needs to be done. Nothing else needs to happen. He could come anytime. Every generation has believed that. Every godly, Bible-believing church, pastor, teacher has taught that. Jesus could return at any time. And you've heard me say, and more often as I get older, Jesus is only a lifetime away anyway, right? But it could also mean near in terms of place. Wherever you are, wherever I am, he's always near. He can always hear, and he can always help. That was part of what Paul was talking about last week when we were reminded to practice the presence of God. Paul said it better when he said, pray without ceasing. Practice the presence of God. David said, I can't go anywhere, but you're there. Think about that. I can't go anywhere that God isn't. So wherever I am, he's already there. He's already here. If I want to see you, talk to you, I have to find you, I have to call you, I have to... You know, he's near because he's always here. He's always listening, and he's always ready to help. So rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, and be anxious for nothing, verse 6 says. And then Paul uses what at least seem to be synonyms, that is, words that mean the same. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, your Bible maybe says petition, by prayer and supplication, and then down toward the end of the verse he says, let your requests, all three words, references to prayer or praying, how we approach God, how we express ourselves to Him, each a little different emphasis, but for our purpose this morning, remembering that we can be anxious for nothing. And when we find ourselves getting close to that, sometimes when I pray, especially for those unspoken needs, I ask that the Lord would keep us from the sin of worry. Fine line sometimes between being concerned and worrying. But the solution, obviously, is to remember who's in control, who brought up the situation in the first place. So when I find myself anxious, when I find myself on the verge of worry, on the verge of sin, it's a choice. Paul says, don't be. Be anxious for nothing. But when you find yourself close, by prayer, by supplication or petition, let your requests be made known to God. Have you done that? God, you know what's going on. And you know how I'm feeling about it. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about my child. I'm concerned about my spouse. I'm concerned about my community. I'm concerned about my church. But I don't want to fall into the trap of worry. So I'm starting here. I want you to, again, I'm not informing you of anything, but I want you to know that I know I'm concerned about these things. And as soon as we do that, this other phrase is almost automatic: with thanksgiving. I'm anxious, I'm concerned, I'm on the verge of the sin of worry, but God, I'm sharing my heart with you, and I'm so thankful that you're listening. You're hearing me. I can let my request be made known. I can pray to God, knowing that nothing is beyond His control. Knowing that nothing is too difficult for Him to handle. The result, our conclusion, verse 7. The peace of God produces confident trust, which surpasses all comprehension. Trust in every difficulty. Again, nothing is beyond Him. He never comes back to you and says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't handle that. That's beyond me. My go-to phrase is it's above my pay grade. God never says that. He's never overwhelmed by our concerns. So trust in every difficulty will guard your hearts and your minds from every anxiety, doubt, and worry in Christ Jesus. Paul's assuming that you and I know that He's God. But Christ, Redeemer, Savior, Messiah, Jesus, Mary's boy, a man, our Redeemer, our Savior. True peace is only available in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly. You know what we need. You know what I need. You know what each one of us this morning needs. You know who's close to that line. You know who's overstepped it, even today already. They've committed the sin of worry. They've gotten so proud. I've gotten so arrogant as to think that something's gone terribly wrong and you have somehow neglected me or mine in some way. Or you're moving too slowly, moving in the wrong direction. I'm worried. Forgive us. Bring us back in line with who you are, understanding who you are, and responding with a heart of thankfulness. We live in a chaotic, godless world, in a nation that is post-Christian. We are not the majority, if we ever were. We are an increasing minority. But you are still in control. You still have a perfect plan. And for that, we will give thanks and trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.